Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 37, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Oh, can I say the yeah?
June 25th, please.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
For June 25th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It feels like O'Brien. It feels like potatoes O'Brien. That is courtesy of Why Not Maddie B on Twitter. And I am thrilled to be joined by today's co-host, one of the funniest stand-ups and commentators on geek culture, one of the hosts of Nerdificent podcast right here on this very network. She is Danny Fernandez.
Yeah. AKA Daka Khan.
Daka
I like
Khan.
That.
I like that a lot.
I was going to say 101 Danmations.
Oh, I like that
one.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Daka Khan might be left over from.
Really? It still works for me.
Yeah. There you go. 101
Danmations. I wanted to
also
say thank you also for getting our name right, Nerdificent. It's literally people, it's just magnificent with nerd on it, but you would be surprised like whenever we go on other shows and they're like, Nerdificient.
Oh. I can't get Carl Tart saying nerdtastic out of my head.
Yes.
It's hard to not hear that, sorry.
Yes, Carl Tart inceptioned the world with mispronunciations of Nerdificent, and now...
He really effed you guys.
But I
he
heard
owes
it.
You.
I knew the title before I heard that from Carl Tart, so I still think it's insane that anybody would mispronounce Nerdificent, which is just magnificent, like
with
you
nerd.
Said, Danny. Hey, who's that third voice talking right there? That is our guest today. In our third seat, he is the hilarious host of one of the great podcasts out there. Yo, Is This Racist? Just one of the funniest dudes talking into a microphone. He is Mr. Andrew T.
What up? I never have a song, AKA, but here's my AKA. Yes, just like T.I. the rapper.
Nice. Andrew T.I. Cool. Well, Andrew, we're excited to get to know you some more.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we like to give our listeners a rundown of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about the firing of Netflix's PR chief for some...
Being dumb as hell.
There you go. We're going to talk about ABC clearly being fans of this podcast because they're making the exact show that I suggest they make 20 minutes after they fire
Get those
Roseanne.
Royalties. Get those royalties.
We are going to talk about just the escalating culture wars, how the right is now feeling more persecuted than ever. Because Sarah Sanders could not finish her cheese plate at the Red Hen. We're going to talk about Permit Patty. We're going to talk about the face of the resistance, Mr. Tom Arnold. And we're going to talk about the big weekend box office, Bafo B.O., baby. And we're going to have an update in the realm of sports. But first up, Andrew.
Yo.
We like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
So this one is, we'll presage our further discussion a little bit, but the last thing I searched was a Google image search because I was in a Twitter war with some racists. That's what I do.
This weekend,
yeah,
right?
This weekend. Mm-hmm. So I searched Jim Crow restaurants because I needed to have an image, like a white-only image to just finally drop the mic on people.
Right.
Yeah.
And it didn't work as well as I'd hoped because... There were all these people kind of equivocating and, you know, it was off the, like, mealy mouth. How is not serving Sarah Sanders any different than not serving gay folks or whatever?
Right.
And, of course...
I can't see a single difference.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Moving on from that.
But, you know, nominally, in a vaguely less fucked up society, the mic drop would be like, well, you're basically arguing for, you know... It gets to Jim Crow. Like, if owners can do whatever they want, which is what a lot of these guys were arguing... And my problem, this is where my small remaining faith in humanity really bit me in the ass, is I would drop that and people would be like, yeah, I think that's correct. It should be legal to have white-only restaurants. And I was like, right.
Oh, okay.
I'm arguing with, you know.
You're a monster. Got
unrepentant
it.
Racists.
Right.
I forgot. I should have known, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You are arguing with actual Pepe is on
yeah.
the other.
But see, I really thought I could shame them with that shit. And it
You can't shame
wasn't...
them. That doesn't work.
Well, they came in like on the, you know, libertarian front. And it's usually you can shame libertarians by like pointing out the results of their beliefs because they're arguing from theory land.
Uh-huh.
But you forget that these people are.
I feel that way about racist. Christians is because my family is so heavily religious that, and I went to Catholic school growing up, and I'm like, oh, I know you because I grew up with you, and mm-hmm. I feel like I know how to shame you, and yet you still can't shame someone.
I know. They're unshameable.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, they're already so drenched in shame that they, you know, like I feel like at least Catholics.
Yeah.
Catholics
are just like, sexual
yeah, but
shame,
I'm guilty about everything.
Repressed.
So what the fuck are you going to say to me? Right. I'm guilty about getting naked to shower this morning.
But like libertarians are the opposite. It's like, been shameless, stay shameless.
Right.
Like they're
yeah,
just like,
exactly.
They got nothing.
Andrew T is the foremost expert on having Twitter arguments that are,
just,
you know, he's out there fighting the good fight for the rest of us.
No.
He's the man who brought us the term Gish Gallop
yeah.
Into the Zeit gang.
I did get Gish Galloped by one of those. And it was, yeah.
It's
we'll
so easy to Gish Gallop somebody when you're wrong. It's
yeah,
just
yeah.
Like,
you just throw out all the lies.
Here's an outrageous thing that yeah. you would need. There are like 3,000 things wrong with.
Yeah.
Andrew, what's something that's overrated?
Oh, man. Man, you know what? I had written this down just before I walked into the studio. Good coffee, severely overrated.
Wow.
But actually, the coffee you guys have here is pretty good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because I was like, man, fuck coffee. I hate it. And then I was like, oh, yeah, this is actually pretty good.
So
yeah,
I
I'm
take
sticking
pride
with,
in my coffee,
I'm
Andrew.
I'm sticking with good coffee, though.
Overrated.
Yeah, I was at a dinner party yesterday, and the one of the I will say this, it was at a previous Daily Zeitgeist guest's place, but I will leave them nameless because
okay.
Her partner was like going on a little too hard about how good the coffee setup they have is, and I was
oh,
like
no.
damn
wow, coffee snobs.
Yeah, I just can't get to that level of connoisseurship, and so I was like, you're right, it's good,
it's bean water.
Yeah, yeah, but it's right, it's not
the
it's
best
not
bean
that.
Water though.
It's bean water, Jack,
but it's just not good enough to anytime you have
to be a snob about that.
I think it's a digital scale. That's like if you have a digital scale, you
yeah.
best be putting cocaine on that stuff.
Right.
That
truly.
Wait, like, they put coffee on a digital scale
yeah.
because they're like, this is the perfect amount.
Wow.
Yeah, you need
oh,
you need
come on.
No.
Like 40 grams of beans to go with X liters of water.
That is madness.
I'm just saying, it's insane.
I just want like an unmarked like Starbucks, you know, cup
yeah.
car to like, no, I mean like to show up and then just like throw you
oh.
in the back.
I'm just
for your blasphemy.
I just yeah. can't.
So yeah. I always eyeball it, and that gets me in trouble sometimes.
That's
sometimes,
right.
Most days, super producer Sophie Lichterman will come up and be like, damn, the coffee's good today. Some days, super producer Anna Hosnier, who's on the other end of the honesty scale, will come up and be like, what the fuck did you put in the coffee today? Jesus Christ. But I always put the same thing, a little Starbucks and then some toasted almond to top it off. That
oh.
I find that that helps.
You have a proprietary mm-hmm.
yeah.
blend. Oh.
And it's just toasted almond flavored coffee. It's not like I put toasted almonds in
it. It's really good. Here's what I will say, though. There is also, like, did you see that thing? I'm sure this feels like something that's very in your wheelhouse, Daily Zeitgeist style, that, like, the top two complaints in offices are, like, it's too hot is number one, and number two is it's too cold. Like,
that's great.
No one, it's just like everyone's miserable in offices
yeah.
at all times.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Too many people are talking to me.
Yeah.
Nobody is
too
talking
quiet,
to me.
Too quiet. You're, yeah. So basically, that's the coffee situation you're in. It's
yes.
like, you can't please.
Can't
everyone.
Please super producer Anna Hosnier,
yeah.
as they say.
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated over the counter drugs.
Okay.
I'm really one of those people that's like, I don't need that. And also, I'm sure subconsciously part of me believes that, like, because it's over-the-counter, it can't be strong enough to do anything.
Right, right.
But yeah, I'm having, like, we're in a kind of bad smog time in
always.
LA.
Always.
Well, today, but today's, or like the last 3 days, I thought it had been really bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, all weekend, I was like, I think I'm sick. And then I was like, I think I just, I'm having, like, allergies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I took a Allegra,
hell
and
yeah.
I instantly got better, and I was like, oh, god damn it. These things work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And similarly, last like winter and cold season, I just took some, I don't know, I'm just one of those people that's like, I don't need that, I don't need that, I don't need that. Guess what? I need it.
Did it knock you out? Does it make you drowsy?
Allegra doesn't.
Okay, good.
Because I am.
Benadryl does.
The answer, yeah, Benadryl for sure does. Yeah, maybe it was just changing
it up. I'm really bad, Andrew. So I love over-the-counter drugs, but I will like cut them in half so that they work quicker. I'm bad. I'm like Heisenberg over here.
Oh, you like grind them up and like put them in your gums?
I'm not kidding.
Does that work?
Uh-huh.
If you chew the pills, yeah, that'll go right to your bloodstream.
I've done it for Excedrin. Don't write me. I don't care. I'm going to die from other things. I'm going to die from this smog.
Excedrin has caffeine in it.
Yes, like, that's why.
A couple cups of coffee.
If I have like a massive migraine,
what?
I will cut an Excedrin in half so that it works quicker. And I've done that for, I'm bad. I've done that for Allegra D as well.
Uh-huh.
So that it'll, like, if I have to be on camera and I'm super swollen or something, I'll do that.
What?
And the decongestant will. This is just little tips.
This just this
look at that.
Cool.
Camera ready.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Take some Allegra or take some Excedrin.
Oh my God.
Here,
dunk myself in a ice bath.
I'm just like here live at 2018 San Diego Comic Con.
I just didn't. I guess I'm just like if that. Here's what it is. It's an extension of the I don't want to be part of any group that would have me. It's like if they sell it to me in a drugstore,
right.
That means it's not good.
Yeah,
that's I think the root
they don't
of
even
this.
Like hide it behind the counter.
Yeah.
It's just out
there.
Yeah,
I don't have to sign for it.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
If people in the Midwest haven't figured out a way to like get high
weaponize
off of this,
it. Yeah.
Then yeah, it's not worth it.
It's not real.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true?
I wrote this down, and then I'm realizing just as I'm about to read it that this might also have been my myth from an earlier appearance. Did I say before that it's a myth that doctors are scientists?
No, I don't think so.
It is a myth.
They're not scientists.
Okay.
They're basically mechanics, very high-stakes mechanics, and maybe not rightfully compensated, but it's fine that they're highly compensated. But the idea that like being a doctor necessarily makes you qualified. I mean, look, it should be obvious because there are creationist doctors. Dr. Brent Carson believes that pyramids were made by aliens, I believe.
Yeah.
It's certainly possible to have, you know, they use science in their job, but they use the results of science. They don't have to employ the scientific method in their reasoning and in their, they should.
Right.
But they don't have to.
You can broaden this to people assume that if you're really good at one thing, that makes you good at other things.
Yeah.
And Ben Carson is a great brain surgeon, but that is a purely technical thing that he was able to study and like figure out perfectly. But that does not make him good at science at all.
Right. He's good at executing a brain surgery, but the way his belief system works definitively would not let him discover the underlying process of why the brain surgery works.
Right.
He doesn't do like logic that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctors aren't scientists.
They
doctors
use science.
Are good at their specialty, and that's
sometimes
about it.
They're not.
Yeah, and also they're
sometimes like all those articles that have come out about how women are treated, like how my ex-boyfriend, his father was a doctor, and he always hated whenever I would talk shit about doctors until he started until he started going to my appointments with me and just seeing how because I have two autoimmune disorders and just seeing how little they care.
Treat you,
and how it's like, oh, it's just anxiety. It's like, no, that's actually I have a clinical reason why my hair is falling out. It's not just
you
stress.
Got basically it's like prescribed with hysteria.
Yeah, yeah, no, that happens so much. Yeah. And I'm in a women's chronic illness group, and we talk about how little we are validated with our concerns and how often that happens. But
I think that's definitely true. My wife is a doctor, and it seems to me, as an outsider, the most sexist industry I've ever witnessed, and I've witnessed a lot of them. It's crazy.
Including the one that we're in.
We're in it, baby.
Yeah.
That's so funny, though, because I have a lot of physicians in my family, and to their credit, they're all like, it's bullshit.
doctor?
Yeah, but they're like, look, it's like we're like mechanics. We're just mechanics. It's fine, but we're mechanics for sure. I don't know.
Totally. But people do like call her and they're like, so I'm having this problem. And it's like, that is not my specialty at all. But people do really trust doctors. But at the same time, listen to doctors when it comes to vaccines, guys. Don't listen to Jenny McCarthy.
Listen to the scientists.
Right.
Listen to the doctors who are scientists who have an overwhelming body of research. Because that's the other thing. You can find MDs that are like, there's something to this vaccine skepticism. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. They're not scientists.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like, it was a doctor who started the whole skepticism thing by writing a paper that has been shot. It's so many holes.
Yeah, it's very possible to be an MD without that. Also, don't call them doctors. They're physicians. There's lots of other doctors.
Yeah, although, doctors of philosophy, for instance.
I mean,
those are the real people. Right.
Also, well, there's a terminal degree in nursing. So there are people in hospitals who are doctors of nursing who deserve to be called doctors, but that causes
confusion.
Pretty bad problems.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry,
doctor is... probably a word that's used too much for too many things.
Yeah.
But Dr. J.
Not,
Dr.
Exactly.
J. should be the only doctor.
Yes.
All right,
Physician
guys.
Physician J.
Let's get into the stories of the day. First up, over the weekend, I think it was, or at the end of last week, Netflix fired their PR chief, Jonathan Friedland, who had served as the media giant's chief communications officer for the past 6 years, was fired for insensitive remarks he made to his team during a meeting about insensitive remarks. Like,
kind
that's,
of crazy.
How did he not see that one coming? But apparently, Danny, you
No, I was going to say he, so essentially when they were talking about insensitive words, he used the N-word, but he actually said the word.
As an example?
Yes.
Jesus.
And this was something that had happened repeatedly. So they finally fired him, it said, on at least two different occasions. So the first time he did it, people came up after the meeting and were like, dude, you can't say that word. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just like, this is an insensitive word, you still just say the N-word. Don't actually say the word. And he had multiple people come up after it, and then this most recent time he did it again. So it was like he just, and he's the PR chief. Like, and so they let him go because they said essentially that he just showed this unacceptable level of racial insensitivity, you know, that he just wasn't listening to people there saying, hey, don't say that word.
Mm-hmm.
I just find this insane.
It's amazing. Because it's like, his job is PR, literally. Like, I mean, it's like one thing, and you can sort of argue like he was quoting it or whatever. There's, you know, you can find any number of white guys who are like, well, it's just a quote. I'm just singing along to Drake or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's fine, but if your like job is to relate to the public, which includes everyone, like, you have to understand that, like, most people, when you count, you know, people of color as people, are not going to be down with this.
Right.
And like,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure you get this a lot.
Yeah.
Just as a,
sort of too much.
Yeah. Andrew's podcast is him answering questions about whether things are racist. And I just know I've been in conversations where people insist on using the word out loud to like in quotes, but it's clear that there's something underlying there, like because they feel like they should be able to say it, that indicates something about their whole philosophy about like how it's almost like a libertarian sense of like, well, why shouldn't I be able to exactly.
I'm not calling anyone that.
Right.
I mean, I think the thing is, it's like...
But he was speaking to a group of people at his company.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. And they had already corrected him before.
Yeah.
You know? And so this was the second time he was doing it. It was like, you just literally don't care then. You don't care how that you're making people in your own company uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. I think beyond that, I think he's actively like... If he's anything like all the other white guys that do shit like this, he's like actively like... Well, why can't I do it in this context? I'm sure when he got fired, he was like, it's not like I was calling someone that.
Right. Yeah,
I'm positive that phrase came out of his mouth.
I'm just trying to get their attention and, you know, be realistic. Why should I only use...
People say it.
Right.
Why can rappers call each other that?
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. That's... That argument doesn't work.
Well,
we could spend a whole episode explaining why.
But it's also like a lot of stuff where you're like, you know, again, I spent the weekend arguing with libertarians. It's like, these guys are like, guys, I'm comfortable saying guys. These
right.
guys are so into dying on the hill of like first degree logical fairness.
Right.
That they can't their like schema can't include history or context. And
right.
it's
yeah.
like, what is wrong with you people? Just like, why? How could this possibly be an important like thing to push?
The Netflix CEO Reed Hastings said that his descriptive use of the N-word on at least two occasions at work showed unacceptably low racial awareness and sensitivity and is not in line with our values as a company. I think it even goes back to like, that's literally your job.
Yeah,
right.
To understand people, and the fact that you can't understand why this upset people the first time, that you're doing it again.
It's crazy.
Chief Communications Officer.
And he was from Disney. He's a former Disney communications executive.
Yeah.
So I don't even know who knew what conversations he was having back at Disney. You know, like, oh, God.
There's some news
stories.
Just
him and the Dumbo crows just chilling.
There are some news stories. Like, I read a thing about how a lot of mass shooters, the first guy who invented the idea of mass shooting down in Austin, was found to have like a tumor that was pushing on a part of his brain that causes aggression. And like stories like this make me just think, oh, this guy probably has like a weird like brain tumor or
what?
Something. Because like,
Jack,
where the
like,
fuck does that come from?
You're letting him off the hook. No.
It's Jack. Just so.
Andrew and I are over here like,
Jack,
no.
Let me tell you this. Unless you want to recontextualize the idea of like white male privilege as some sort of disease, which I'm comfortable examining, but you can get to this place neurotypically.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
That's probably true.
I just want to throw that out there.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. It looks like in his statement, he said, I realize that my privilege has made me intellectualize or otherwise minimize race issues like this. It's just so fascinating to me that you live in a world that is so far removed that you're like, oh, no, it couldn't have been an actual issue for them, me
ridiculous.
Saying this word.
Right.
Oh, and I think that's another thing. You're just so out of touch that you don't belong in that position.
Yeah.
Not only should you not be saying that word, but you don't belong in that position overseeing other people.
Yeah.
The chief communicator.
If I may take this small moment to pitch a new business venture, Yo, Is This Racist Corporate, where for a mere $10,000 a question, I will help at a enterprise level with your extremely obvious racism
Andrew,
questions.
Andrew, I would love you in Yo, Is This Racist Casting.
Yeah,
Iffy and I talk about the auditions and things we get asked to do in auditions.
Hollywood needs it.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying. I could have said, for only a small investment of, again, about $10,000, he could have saved his surely six or possibly seven-figure job.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you only charge, that's $10,000 a meeting, just a consultation.
Per question.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I like it.
Even then, small price, drop in the bucket.
Seriously. And just briefly, ABC is making the Connors, your welcome world, I guess.
Connors.
The Roseanne spinoff. Sans Roseanne, I suggested the second they canceled the show that they should bring it back. Just Valerie, that shit. Valerie was a show on some network in the 80s where they killed off the matriarch and just had it called The Hogan Family after that instead of Valerie. And I was just watching the first episode of that show after she died, and it's just like same laugh tracks and being like, Dad, Mom died 6 months ago. I think it's time for you to get back to work. I'm like, that's
what?
The only reference they make to it. It's Jason Bateman, actually.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so now that it's actually happening, is it a good idea? Should they do this?
No.
Okay, done.
I feel like think of all the other shows and opportunities that they could do as opposed to bringing this.
It really, like, it's also just like, y'all have not rectified the problem. You fired the one like symptom, Roseanne, but the disease is definitely still there because y'all greenlit her in the first place.
Knowing some of her, the shit she said.
Is this still in here? I believe it came out that she had been offered the opportunity to continue as long as she deleted her Twitter account. Do you guys see this?
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah,
that
and she elected to keep the Twitter. So
she's got to be true to herself, Andrew.
That's true, as do we all. As do we all.
Yeah, this is part of my theory that Roseanne has a brain tumor. all right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And And we're back, and it's time to talk about the culture wars.
Culture wars.
Nice. Culture. That was fun. So the right is feeling persecuted after Sarah Sanders was confronted by the owner of a restaurant called Red Hen and asked to leave halfway through her cheese plate.
Was that what she ordered?
Yes. When the owner walked in, they were working on a cheese plate, her and her family and friends.
I imagine it was just Kraft singles.
Yes. I think it was like a fancy restaurant.
Yeah, I think it's a
That's the thing. They're trying to have it both ways. Yeah. They're like, you know,
we're the common people. Yeah. Right. Like $500 cheese plate.
Right.
I will say this. A lot of people have been joking about, like, there was that Restaurants for Sarah hashtag and making fun. Well, that hashtag was more about the names, but there was all these jokes, and I made some about, ugh, good luck with those Republican restaurants.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh, people are like, oh, it's unseasoned potatoes and whatnot. Mm. Sorry, Jack. can we call you unseasoned potatoes?
Unseasoned potatoes, O'Brien. That will be my AKA tomorrow.
He uses salt and pepper. Right. Okay.
I will just say this, though. All joking aside, I'm positive I've had some good-ass meals made by racists because I've road-tripped across the country.
Oh, yeah, in the South?
You get some good-ass biscuits, mm-hmm, and you're fuck.
Hell yeah, Texas barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, so joking aside, I could probably survive for a couple weeks on Republican-only restaurants.
A thought experiment that I was thinking about over the weekend is, so let's say Obama had gone into a restaurant that was controlled by, like, the far right, the equivalent on the right of, you know, what this restaurant is on the left. Like, Obama had gone in there with his family and friends. Would we be concerned that he wouldn't be served? I mean, he probably wouldn't be, but I feel like that would be the best case scenario for that interchange. Like, I would be, like, more worried for his safety than anything.
I mean, look. It's also like, he's a black dude. He wasn't going to get seated in the first place.
Right,
that
that's what I'm saying.
So,
but they're acting like there's this unprecedented sort of nature of this. Like, it feels disingenuous when the side that you're on is also the side that has, like, done this for years and continues to do this and is, you know, all about hate. It's like,
who was the lady that got shouted out of the Mexican restaurant?
Christian Nielsen?
Nielsen, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a political party whose president has actively called Mexicans rapists and animals. So, no, I don't think that you deserve our food.
Specifically, she's, like, jailing kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
So no.
There was that, like, including on last Friday's episode, I believe, there's a lot of hand-wringing I feel from people that are like, we're playing into their hands. This is a coordinated media effort. Like, because Stephen Miller also went to a restaurant and got, like, asked, I think also a Mexican restaurant, and was, like, shouted at. And it's like, see, they're trolling us. They're distracting us. And I just want to propose an alternate thing, which is, like, it's not four-dimensional chess, and it's not thoughtless. It's in between. It's like, they're like, troll the libs. But it's not like they know how this is going to turn out or that we're distracted from children at the border. If anything, you know, it's super easy to be like, fuck these people. And then, hey, why fuck these people? Oh, yeah, because they have concentration camps. Like,
right.
I just don't understand all the hand-wringing about a distraction. I'm like, it just seems like these guys are all creating pieces of evidence. And sure, it creates enthusiasm on their side for, like, oh, the incivility. But also, on the non-racist side, relatively non-racist side, there's, like, you know, it's all a reminder, all evidence. You're just like, yeah, this shit has to stop. And these are all, like, pieces. There's set dressing, and then there's the reality of it, but it's all the same thing. I don't know. There was also, like, a Washington Post thing about, like, I believe it was an op-ed, and it was called Let the Trump Administration Eat in Peace. But there was, like, one thing that was like, imagine if pro-life people did stuff like this thing. And it was like, the tactics of pro-life people murder doctors.
Yeah.
So guess what?
Right.
We're not at Weather Underground shit yet. So
right.
Yeah.
If that happened, maybe you'd have a point.
Yeah. I get the concern from people saying, are we alienating them more? Is this creating more of an us versus them environment? There was an article in the New York Times this weekend that the approval rating for Trump among Republicans is now at an all-time high for any president among Republicans at this stage of their presidency, except Bush following 9/11. It's at 90. He has a 90% approval rating among Republicans.
If I may, though, the other way to state that, and I think I saw this on Twitter, is Republican president has the highest approval rating among Republicans since the last Republican.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. He's as high as Bush the last time they had a crack at this. So that statistic is like, I don't know. There's just like, you can describe it in a different way. I believe it's still significant, but come on.
Well, and even so, I feel like they have dug in on this us versus them thing. Like the article the New York Times did was interviewing people who were like, yeah, I just feel like it's more of like, you know, the left and the mainstream media criticizing the president. But every single case, it was like, yeah, they watch Fox News. They watch Fox News over and over again. It's always that they watch Fox News. They're dug in. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing that the people on the left can do that is going to make them come around and be like, oh, well, we're all Americans, guys. Like they are only taking culture from Fox News. Fox News is poisonous. It's propaganda, and it's going to create an us versus them thing. That is their central narrative. So there's nothing that the left is going to do that is going to, you know, make them more or less likely to view the world as us versus them.
It's also like all the civility scolds out there. I like when you're like, oh, you have to see the humanity of someone like a Sarah Sanders or like a Trump voter.
Or the children that are put
in
cages.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, but I don't think they don't realize that implicitly says,
yes,
we can therefore not worry about
those
children.
We're expected to be held to a higher standard and treat them with respect, and yet they don't treat us with respect.
Yeah.
Or other life. Yeah. Or humanity or anyone that they don't deem as being protected or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that, whatever they said on Fox News where it was like, well, these aren't our kids. You know, like, it's like, these are children. And so I agree, Jack, that if they can see those images of those children and those families being torn apart and be fine with it, nothing we can say can get across to their humanity.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Right.
Especially people that call themselves Christians. I'm going to hit that on the head as much as possible because, I don't know, whatsoever you do to the least of my people, that you do unto me. And they just don't.
I mean, I think we're at the dark part where they're starting to tell themselves those aren't
this
people.
Must have been what they did, though, back if you think before the Civil or during the Civil Rights era, if you think of like Southern Baptists, how are they able to rectify that with themselves is that they just didn't see black people as people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they think Christ is white, even though he's not. Okay, mm-hmm. That is my rant.
He's Korean,
rant.
Of course.
Let's talk about Permit Patty, guys. There was a video that went viral over the weekend, and we're going to listen to a little audio from it.
This woman don't want to let a little girl sell some water. She calling police on an 8-year-old little girl. You can hide all you want. The whole world going to see you, boo.
Yeah, and illegally selling water without a permit?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
On my property.
It's not your property.
On my property.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she owns that street of San Francisco.
Right. So, yeah, there's, if you haven't seen the video, there's a pissed off looking woman on the street, you know,
not to be confused with Barbecue Becky.
Yeah,
it's Barbecue really... Becky. Now we have Permit Patty. Called the police on an 8-year-old little girl who was selling water without an official license.
Yeah. Just a bad look all around, but just like looks.
Well, not all around. Yeah. Just good looks on the person who was filming it side.
Right.
The
side. Yeah. Just a bad look all around for Permit Patty. I keep wanting to call her Peppermint Patty.
I only just put that together.
That's what it's from.
That's a riff on that.
Permit Patty. But yeah, I mean, and she has already appeared on the Today Show. No word why the Today Show didn't just get the
little girl.
Child to come on and be like, this bitch.
Why would the... Oh my God.
They brought in Permit Patty because that is who presumably their audience would identify with.
Yes, that's so true.
And it's
especially the fourth hour of the Today Show.
You know, it's a middle-aged white lady,
and she was.
You know,
their Etsy accounts.
Contrite, I guess.
Oh. Which, by the way, she does have a medicinal marijuana company.
So.
She made dog edibles for.
It's like a parody of gentrification,
right?
Truly,
like, what are you? Ugh. Disgusting.
That's her story, is that she sells dog edibles for dogs, yeah, like to who are in pain.
Full disclosure, I don't remember her exact brand, but I for sure possibly bought her edibles for my last dog.
Aw.
R.I.P. Kitty, you're one of the greats.
Yeah, that's...
I was going to say one of the organizations actually said that they're no longer going to sell her products. I did see that, someone retweeting that.
There's all sorts of great memery going around. Danny, you posted a great meme.
Yeah, it's of these two little white kids selling lemonade, and then I forgot what this guy's original meme is from, but he's basically calling the cops on them. And it says, me all summer long. And then another one by J-O-A, which says, white folks call 911 like it's customer service.
Yep.
It's really, ugh. I mean, yeah. And the obviously the darker side of this is like, we've seen police murder children because they called 911, like some
terrifying,
white
yeah.
person called 911. And so like, this a little bit is like at the level, I guess it's not exactly the same thing, but this needs to start becoming in a conversation on par with like swatting. Like,
no, calling, absolutely.
Calling cops on black people is adjacent to attempted murder. Like,
right.
You be ready. Be like, understand the consequences when you do shit like this. Yeah. I don't know.
Didn't
I,
they
that's
arrest
maybe inflammatory.
Somebody or somebody's got charged with manslaughter for swatting somebody?
Probably.
I mean, hope so.
If a story like this results in somebody being harmed, that should at least be possible. Be something that you could prosecute somebody for.
The little girl was actually, her mom had recently lost her job, and she was selling water to help get a trip to Disneyland, which then a stranger bought them tickets to Disneyland after seeing this.
Without a permit, Danny.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to say that?
It is also the same, like, you're just remarkable, like, same small government libertarians are like, well, I mean, of course, it's important that, you know, San Francisco, libertarian, like capitalist paradise. Oh, but it's super important that you get a permit from the government to sell water.
Right, right.
Ugh, scum.
Yeah. So are you saying that the right is not ideologically coherent?
Yeah.
No
I
way.
Know.
But the left has their new figurehead. You know, people have been worrying that since Obama left office, the left hasn't had somebody to rally behind. The right has Trump. Well, fear no more, because Tom Arnold is on the case.
God.
If you
Can
saw
we
his
send
name,
him back? Where's the receipt?
You saw his name trending in the last week and assumed he was, you know, arrested for something or dead. He is actually back in the news because he is launching a show on Viceland, which that's I feel for Viceland.
You're not he's not a YouTube millennial kid.
I know.
Why does he get a Viceland show?
They lost Jesus and Mero and picked up Tom Arnold's Viceland show. But the premise of the show is he's hunting for unflattering video of Trump. So like a modern Indiana Jones,
God.
Indiana Jones was a washed up celebrity searching for movies of women peeing on each other. And he got a picture with Michael Cohen in the lobby of Michael Cohen's hotel and turned that into, I think he tweeted that like, hey, it's me and Michael Cohen. We're taking Trump down together, and claiming that Cohen has, quote, all the tapes on President Trump. And it's just a weird, I don't know. I hope people aren't getting kind of sucked into this, because it's obvious that he does not have the tapes, for the same reason that, you know, it's obvious when you're watching a ghost hunter or a Bigfoot hunter show that they are not going to, in fact, discover that extraterrestrial or that supernatural life exists, because if they did, it would not air on
Nat Geo
A&E or Nat Geo at like 2 a.m. It would be like the Pope would be involved
Diners,
in unveiling it.
Diners, drive-ins, drive-throughs.
Yeah. And I don't think that the P-tape is going to be revealed on Tom Arnold's Viceland show.
No, it's going to pop up on somebody's Twitter at 1 a.m.
Right. Exactly.
But it's also like,
it's going to end up on Tumblr first.
Sort of similar to, I wonder if it's almost like, now I am in the 4D chess realm of like, this is how you would defang the P-tape stuff, is by like constantly teasing it on less and less legitimate venues, and then it becomes an alien autopsy.
Oh, man. You mean like maybe Tom Arnold is working for the other side?
Well, I think he's like a bozo, but Cohen is like, this seems like something Cohen and Trump might try, right?
Yeah.
Maybe?
I mean, whatever its design, its effect certainly will be to delegitimize the idea that there's anything called the P-tape.
Like, what if he releases something, but it's clearly, you know,
like alien autopsy,
shot with an Android phone, and like, and then they can easily be like, look, see, they were lying this whole time, and then that's used
it's
against
also, us. Do we all, I mean, what?
I'm putting my tinfoil hat
on. We're so far from the P-tape making any. It at no point would have made an impact we're seeing, we're realizing now.
Would
in
not
hindsight.
Make an impact now. Yeah.
Well, because no it would just care. Be Trump watching women pee on a bed.
I'm just saying there's no.
That's like the least.
There's no sex stuff that any of his voters could possibly.
Right.
Could have changed their mind.
Yeah.
They're comfortable with a concentration camp for children again. So like. And you know,
and the
like
grabber
Stormy
by the
Daniel.
Pussy,
yeah, I'm just
and
like,
the, they'll make a stop fetish shaming.
Yeah, there's none. Right. Or not even, it's just like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. At least it's not Killery.
Just
like,
boys being boys.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, they'll I make mean, an excuse for anything. But if anyone on our side does anything.
Yeah. The P-tape is like truly the dumbest MacGuffin. It's just like, okay, oh, we got the Maltese Falcon. So what?
Yes. This is almost a perfect symbol of everything wrong that the resistance is like focusing on.
Oh.
It's like celebrity, the P-tape. There is supposedly footage, and I've heard this since the early days of the campaign. There's footage from The Apprentice that was unaired of Trump. Trump apparently just sat around like while the cameras were rolling and audio was rolling, just like, you know, saying awful, atrocious things, calling his son a retard, saying the N-word, saying the C-word, just being, like, horrible. And that supposedly exists out there. But I, again, don't think Tom Arnold
that would
is the...
also not upset his fan base
would,
that also uses those words.
It's just like, okay, and?
Yeah, ever since the...
Freedom of speech!
Yeah.
Ever since the election, every time he did something that, like this, that were like putting... you know, children in prison, not that bad, but it would, his numbers would get stronger. And it's,
yeah
that's what excites his base.
Yeah. The idea that any of these is a mic drop is, we should have been disabused of that so long ago, but surely now we have to realize there's just nothing. Who cares? P-tape is real. Of course. Like, here's what's going to happen. They're actually going to find it and he's just going to preemptively release it because he knows he could murder someone and it doesn't matter. Like, he was not kidding about that with his base.
Right.
He's right.
There is a certain entertainment factor to Tom Arnold at this point. You probably haven't seen him in a long time. Is like sort of unraveling. Like, he used to be a bullshit artist and now he's just a like bullshit person, like unraveling. He was on CNN over the weekend and they were asking him if Cohen had described whether he was working with authorities. And like, for whatever reason, that question like caused him to shut down like an off-brand Westworld robot. Like, it was just like, he stopped talking and there was just like dead air for like 20 seconds. And then she was like, are you not going to answer my question? Like, it wasn't clear why that question was a problem.
Does not compute.
Yeah, he just broke down and stopped talking. And then she was like, well, maybe once your show is up, you could like come back and tell us what Michael Cohen told you. And he was like, no, I won't do that. It was just this weird, like, he changed from Tom Arnold to like just having an existential crisis. It was like somebody just quantum leaped into his body
like
and was like, oh, fuck, I'm Tom Arnold. Yeah, there's also one of the stories he's telling people to drum up publicity for the show is that Hillary Clinton called him days before the election and told him that the weight of the free world was on his shoulders.
That woman does not have his telephone number.
No.
That's incredible.
Yeah, like
doesn't sound like a thing that actually happened, Tom. But, you know, who knows?
Tune in to
see what he comes up with.
I don't think that happened, but sort of similarly, there is this kind of like gross underlying, like everyone's palling around with everyone else and it is still like a game to a lot of these people.
Right.
And it's like, uh-huh. Like, it's weird because that is so obviously bullshit, and yet it feels to me less potentially bullshit than maybe it would have a year ago.
I guess they've probably been at the same party within the past couple years.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, maybe not exactly that, but it's not inconceivable that she was running through her Rolodex of Hollywood and said something similar to everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Not no, Tom fair. Arnold. I don't think that she'd he also had, didn't he have a, I mean, he has problematic slash,
I'm sure,
like assault stuff on
during
his record,
their, during
he?
His divorce with Roseanne, she said that, you know, she's now coming to terms with the fact that she was essentially a battered spouse. Now, it's always difficult in divorces, but that's...
Someone that's running for candidate, I don't think that they would associate themselves with Tom Arnold. No. She already had the Broad City Girls. She doesn't need Tom Arnold.
Right.
You know,
I guess my assertion would be, I think there's more of just, like, a lot of quiet corridors or cell phones of power, like, hey, what's upping, than I really wanted. You know,
I agree with you, but I don't think Tom Arnold is considered powerful.
And again, this is Tom Arnold.
I hear you. No, I know. But again, it's like...
Andrew, I have a PowerPoint. I need to get this across
to you. Before the election, I'm just saying she's calling everyone.
Maybe she did hear a rumor that he had these apprentice tapes and was like, you know...
Why him? There's so many other people that would have it, not him.
Right.
He hasn't even been relevant in Hollywood.
Because
he hasn't even been... You know what I mean?
Because he's crazy enough to tell that lie, maybe. There is a story from when Tom and Roseanne were together. So I'm just going to read the story. Julie Louise Dreyfus, when she was playing Elaine on Seinfeld, inadvertently,
America's sweetheart,
just one of the great humans, one of the great American treasures, inadvertently parked in a spot designated for Roseanne Barr's then husband, Tom Arnold, who at the time was making a show called The Jackie Thomas Show, which also filmed at the CBS Studio Center. Louise Dreyfus later said that she was instructed to park there by the parking attendant. Arnold left a note on her car. "How stupid are you? Move your fucking car, you asshole." Jason Alexander, Larry David, and Julie Louise Dreyfus confronted Arnold about the note, after which followed a Polaroid of someone's ass left on her windshield and the word cunt written in soap on her windshield. Yeah.
That's...
He's a lunatic. He's not all there.
They both are not good people.
Welcome to the resistance.
Welcome to the resistance, Tom. All right, guys, we're going to take another quick break so Andrew can just lay down on the floor for a little bit.
I have this PowerPoint, Andrew.
I'm going to put my face through the soundproof window.
And then we'll be right back. And we're back, and it was a big weekend at the box office, BAFO B-O-4. That's one of those just horribly, offensively lame phrases that the more I say it, the more I like saying it.
I think it was Hollywood Reporter in one of their tweets also said, one of these movies slurped up.
Yeah,
like
nine
figures or something
like
that.
Why do that?
Why?
Oh, so
dinosaurs
gross.
Don't slurp, do
oh,
they?
Oh, gross.
Ant-Man and the Wasp crawling to number one.
Right.
They always do that.
But slurp would make sense if it was a blockbuster movie about soup. But dinosaurs,
slurp a little.
Or genetically engineered dinosaurs with lips.
Right.
Dinosaur lips. Yeah. I haven't seen the movie. Is that the turn? They all got big old lips.
I don't know why Seinfeld was in my Jurassic Park. But
Newman, he's there to fight Newman.
Oh, yeah,
true,
exactly.
True.
We gave him lips. So this is the first time since 2007 that two separate movies debuted with over $100 million in consecutive weekends. Jurassic Park 5 and Incredibles 2 did it over the past two weekends. And the last time was, I think, a sequel to Pirates of the Caribbean and Shrek 3.
Whoa.
So they're following in some big footsteps there, cinematic classics.
Although kind of the analogous of each,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, sort
to
of.
Be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Although Shrek 3 is more the Jurassic Park 5 of the situation.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Although
sure.
There's Jurassic Park 5 and Pirates of the Caribbean, which are both rides.
Right,
so.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, when the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the Fuck. I almost had the quote from the original Jurassic Park, but I forgot it.
Clever girl.
Don't eat the guests. Yeah, there you go. Clever girl. That's what I meant to say. Danny, you saw Jurassic Park 5. You said it is both bad and
sad? Was that my words? I said it was a movie with dinosaurs, and so it did the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people getting eaten, things blowing up. It was, oh my gosh, I saw this article, and it was like, people are crying in the Jurassic Park 5 theater. And true, there is a moment that really got me. I saw it with Iffy. We saw an early screening of it, and I, like, grabbed him. I was like, no! I was going to say, I listened to y'all's Friday episode with Brody Reed about how it was written, how, you know, they had Nasty Woman in there, like, as reference to
right.
Hillary Clinton slash it was very, it definitely had a lot of statements and political commentary on Trump and other things like that. Not saying not to have that, but it just
be
wasn't
general.
Well done.
Right. Be general, not specific, if you're going to make a movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say I left like, people are bad and we should die.
Like, oh, yeah.
We should all die and the dinosaurs and the animals should be able to live. And I wish that, you know, that whatever in the happening, you know, when the plants were trying to kill us, mm-hmm. that is what should happen to us because we're bad. And then Jurassic Park 5 just really nailed that on the head of like, humans are inherently bad and we don't deserve.
On that plant murder thing, by the way, the ragweed in LA is really trying, by the way, y'all.
Allergy jokes.
But I, you know, I will say the Planet of the Apes new movies have been doing a good job of both emoting CGI things. And, you know, like...
For sure.
It's been like, here's a protagonist. Guess what?
Caesar?
Not people. Yeah.
Yeah, like they made the star of that CG face.
So good for them.
Really great performances.
Yeah. Are there crying dinosaurs in Jurassic Park 5?
Oh, God. Maybe.
Just a single tear.
Oh, there's just one scene. I know everyone that's seen it in the theaters knows what I'm talking about. It was just, this dinosaur that...
What? Doesn't make it?
It's slow. It doesn't make it. And
does the bad dinosaur have...
It hurts. It's like Littlefoot.
It is time for a Land Before Time live action CGI.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're
going
to get Great Mouse Detective and...
oh, my God.
You're going to get so many. Anastasia, I think, is coming back, so... you'll get everything that you want.
Yeah.
Anastasia's a good... We're prime for a pro... Czarist.
Russia? Oh,
yeah. We're in a pro-czarist world now, baby.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Yeah, once Disney consolidates all studios under its massive corporate overlordship. Actually, it's funny you were saying that because by the end of season 2 of Westworld, also a Crichton joint, I was having the exact same thought that you said you were having about, like, yeah, fuck humanity. Let's move on from us. And yeah, so maybe we're all just being, you know, because I also had those thoughts after watching ER, you know? No, that's not true.
I was going to say Black Mirror, 100%.
Yeah, Black Mirror.
Oh, this
for
is
sure.
just getting worse.
Yeah.
And we should go ahead and just be extinct.
That's
fine.
A wrap on humanity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you go home and watch some football, mm-hmm. and your faith in humanity is restored. It's time for our World Cup Day. All right. Ooh.
That
was
a kind of stop sign.
Yeah.
So, Mexico.
Mexico won.
Viva
again.
Mexico.
As we knew they would.
Beat South Korea, unfortunately.
2-1.
That's a real LA.
I know.
Yes.
Seriously.
The most LA.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It was packed. And then we had our adorable little abuelita praying with the rosary because, you know, she was the one that was like blessing it. Someone had. Videoed their abuela essentially like blessing each of the and then I think she did the sign of the cross over the goalie like 3 times, and so then in this game, and that was for their last game against Germany that they won, and then for this one they actually videoed her like with her rosary
saying the entire rosary for each one.
Yeah.
Just speed saying the rosary.
Yes.
Yeah, well, South Korea got a good goal in, so you know, way to go, South Korea. And I watched I just had it on all weekend, and I'm coming around on this whole soccer sport. The Senegal-Japan match was really entertaining. I'm sure Miles was enjoying that. He was also over in England for England beating Panama 6-1. And that was actually my favorite moment of the entire World Cup up to this point, was watching Panama fans react to their first World Cup goal, because they got the shit beat out of them. They were dead. Like, they lost 6-1 and they scored a goal and their whole nation like just exploded in joy. And it's just, that's the difference between World Cup and like how much this means to, you know, people, and, you know, how much pride people have in their national team versus basically any other sporting event. There was also that thing you showed me before we started rolling, Andrew, about,
oh yeah,
where it was to Panama.
I believe it was like Panamanian TV. Right. I saw the description was in Spanish, such I don't know exactly what's going on, but it was the Panamanian national anthem was playing, like a shot from the cameras inside the sports studio showing the two announcers like fist pumping, crying, hugging each other, and just watching it. And then it's amazing. They're so emotional. And then it basically, they have to go right into VO as soon as the game starts. So they're just like crying. It's not quite like, they're not on camera, so they don't have to like turn and be like composed.
Right.
But it's just like, and, you know, and then the game gets going and it's incredible.
Yeah.
I will just say though, we need to milk every moment of humanity out of this, because the price we pay for getting this is we allow FIFA, one of the most corrupt organizations on earth, to exist. So just think about that. I mean, look, Qatar, the next World Cup, straight up has slaves building stadiums right
now. That's going to be a tough one to swallow.
Yeah. This one should be tough, too. Just saying.
Yeah. Those stadiums are going to be so nice, though, dude.
Oh,
like, think about
it.
Man,
well, they better be.
Yeah. By then, you know, we'll have Daily Zeitgeist correspondents on the ground.
Hell yeah.
You know, exposing the human rights abuses. Anything else from the World Cup or the weekend in culture? Do either of you guys watch Westworld?
I didn't catch it up on the finale.
Okay.
I didn't watch it last night because I was too busy eating ribs with the
aforementioned previous guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And iffy, I will say.
And iffy?
Yeah. It was a real,
wow,
real thing.
Yeah. A real previous guest smorgasbord. Awesome. Well, Andrew, it has been a pleasure having you.
Thanks
as always.
Me.
First of all, we like to ask our guests what their social media is, and also what is a tweet that you've been enjoying recently?
Oh, man. Well, social media is Andrew T. Last name is spelled T-I. And Yo, Is This Racist? Please go listen. We added a new co-host. Her name is Tawny Newsome. She's really great. And the other thing I want to tease a little bit is I've been teasing it on this show for too long, but finally about to get this. Literally this week we'll be recording the first episode of the podcast that caused me to read Atlas Shrugged. So will come out eventually. I know I've been teasing it forever. It's going to actually happen now. I kind of blew the tweet on the Panamanian thing, so I don't know if I have a better one.
We'll just say follow Andrew on Twitter, and he'll retweet that Panamanian one.
Yeah, hell yeah, for sure.
And you can see what true national pride looks like, you guys.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, it's really...
Oh,
we
God.
Can see true
really
national pride all the time.
That's toxic national pride. That's national pride as a way of saying fuck you to an entire type of people.
Yeah.
Danny, what is your social media and what is a tweet you've been enjoying lately?
Oh, I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez on all the socials. What is a tweet that I've been enjoying lately?
Danny's a great follow on all the socials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to do my own tweet. We're not doing that, right? I'm going to bring
up
somebody
else's tweet.
I mean,
you would be
tweet.
The first to do that. But
gross! One from my friend, one from my friend Sam Gritner, who's at Sam Gritner, and he said, Netflix, next episode will start in 5 seconds. Me, not fast enough. You're killing me here. So true.
That is absolutely
I can't handle
the truth.
It. I'm like, what? No. Skip intro.
Right.
Go to the
right.
next one. Gosh. We are walking Black Mirror episodes.
Seriously. We really are.
I really had to, I was watching Westworld on my iPad and it went to black and it did literally have a Black Mirror moment of just staring at myself like, what am I doing? It was real bad.
All right. You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. My tweet. Let's see, I got a couple down. Matt Chrisman at Kushbaum wrote, love to produce a small glass bottle from my sleeve and sprinkle an undetectable poison into my lord's goblet while he is distracted by a jester's capering. I like that. And I like Derek's at E-Dirk, son. Dad, how did you and Mom become mutuals? Father, well, believe it or not, I DM'd her. She liked my tweet about white people be loving to call 911. Son, Dad, you were a rando? Father, laughing heartily. That's right, son. I just like that exchange because I had that exact exchange with my son over the weekend.
The future's so dark.
We're fucked. And that's going to do it for today's episode of The Daily Zeitgeist. But you can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website where you can find our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. And we're going to keep it going with recommendations from super producer Anna Hosnier.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me. Okay. So today I'm going to recommend this song. It's called Borders by this group, Saint Beauty, which it's these two girls, women that are based out of Atlanta, Georgia. They're part of the Wonderland Art Society, which is this like artistic collective that has people like Janelle Monáe in it. And they put out beautiful music and it makes me cry and it makes me emotional. So I want you guys to listen to it. It's Saint Beauty and the song is called Borders.
Oh my God, there are tears streaming down her face.
I love everybody
here. The song must be so good. That's going to do it for today's episode. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Tell me, where'd you go when you said goodbye? I never thought I'd lose you. Didn't think you would make a sacrifice. There was never any room to head for the road and live your life. And I'll read all the signs. Tell me where to go when the love has died. For my freedom.